All right, welcome to Locked On Warriors, your daily podcast on all things Warriors. I'm Wes Goldberg, writer for the Mercury News, and I'm joined today by Charles T. Hamilton, and we are here talking about another frustrating loss, Charles, 116-86 to the Los Angeles Lakers, who I know Warriors fans don't like, only rubbing salt in the wound. On a night where the Lakers were without LeBron James, this was an opportunity for the Warriors to maybe break this losing streak that they're in the middle of. But instead, they have now lost 23 of the last 26 games, eight straight games now. They were without Andrew Wiggins, who was a late scratch. But I honestly don't think he would have done a whole lot to change the outcome in this game. Do you?
No, I don't. And I know technically we look at it as, oh, LeBron's out, it's an opportunity to win. I mean, the Lakers are still just better than the Warriors, or this Warriors team, without Steph, Clay, and then Wiggins is out. Look, they played hard in the first half. It was great that they were down two with the halftime, and you know, gave you a little bit of hope. But I think a 30-point loss is, almost expected in a game like this.
Yeah, and look, I mean, they like you said, they were down by two at halftime. It was still really a game. It was a boring game, but it was at least a winnable game at that point. But Draymond Green got ejected in the second quarter. He was called for He was called for a defensive foul after Dwight Howard basically pushed him over. He ran into Dwight Howard on a screen. It was pretty clear that Dwight extended his arms and just shoved Draymond Green to the ground. Draymond Green obviously took exception to that, yelled at not one, but both officials standing near him, and continued to yell at them as they were ejecting him and as he was walking into the team tunnel. He was obviously not happy. He's played just 10 minutes in that game after missing the last two games completely with a pelvic contusion. This is going to be a nine-day stretch where he only plays 10 minutes of game time. So, I mean, this is one way to work in some load management, right?
No question. And he definitely got his money's worth on that ejection, or at least on that second tech. Definitely let his feelings be known. But, yeah, I mean, he hasn't played much. It definitely hurt their chances in the second half. But, again, you know, like we said, they were outscored by 28 in the second half. It's not as if, Draymond would have been the only difference. But, yeah, I can't blame him. You know, Draymond has pushed the tech limit every single year, but he's never actually reached it. To where he misses a game, it's 16 techs, and you miss a game. I think this is the year that it'll happen, just because he doesn't care for the most part. Right. It's not, you know, missing Draymond isn't something that's going to hurt their playoff chances or anything like that, because they're not making the playoffs.
They were outscored 40-17 in the third quarter. And in a normal season, I think you and I would end up just talking mostly about that, because that was the quarter. That was the 12-minute period of the game that decided the outcome of the game. But this season doesn't really matter, so who cares? Let's talk more about Draymond Green and his techs, because that's way more fun. I think with Draymond now, he's up to 14. I don't know that he's going to get to the 16. I still – look, at the end of the day, you're going to lose money if you get to that 16. And does Draymond Green really want to lose anything more during the season than he already has, would be my only question. I don't – at the same time, though, that's assuming that it would be his decision – not to get that 16th foul based on some of these techs, man. He might just be incapable of holding it in sometimes. And there's still 25 games left to play. Like, to pick up two within that 25 game span, at this rate, it almost seems inevitable that he would. But I do wonder when he gets to tech 15, and that's a when, not an if he just reins it in a little bit more, starts doing some meditation practices or something. I don't know what it's going to take, but I don't think he wants to lose any more money than he needs to.
No, that's a great point, because, you know, you don't think about the fact it's a missed game check. It's not just what is it, $4,000 a tech now, and then I think it goes up to five once you hit 16. But yeah, it's a missed game check. And, you know, I'm almost on the other side. Like, I do think he can control it to an extent.
It'll be helpful when Steph comes back.
Exactly. But I also understand the techs more when it's a, you know, high energy, high emotion game, when they're just getting their ass kicked, like has been happening. It feels like he just makes the decision to lose it. So I almost feel like it'll be up to him whether or not he gets to 16. But like you said, 25 games, man, two more, like, that's he got two tonight. So, you know, like he could get two in one game. He could get two in one, you know, in one sentence. So, right. You know, we'll see. But I'm
nobody
kind of betting on him missing a game.
Nobody picks up the tech faster than he does. And maybe it's just his reputation around the league, but it is two words into his sentence and it's bop, bop, you're ejected. You're out of here.
Yep.
I was looking at my computer. I look up and he's gone. And he's walking in the tunnel. I'm like, great. There you go. That's my game story. Our Saturday game is next. All right, it's time for our stat of the game. The stat of the game has got to be the 27 turnovers that the Warriors coughed up in this game. 27 turnovers that resulted in, I believe, 24 Lakers points, if I have that right. And you're not going to win games that way. You're not going to win games in a lot of ways that the Warriors tried to win a game tonight. I mean, not only were they outshot at the free throw line, 27 attempts to 10, they also committed 27 fouls in addition to the 27 turnovers. They didn't shoot well. They went 9 for 32 from 3-point range. They basically wrote the book on how to lose a basketball game tonight.
Yeah, it was gross. It was really, really bad. You know, what can you say? Steve Kerr, I almost feel for him because he hates turnovers more than anything.
Yeah.
And tonight, like, must have just been the worst night of his coaching career. Kai Bowman had 7 of them. Dragan Bender, who had a intriguing first game, had 6 tonight. You know, I'm kind of betting against that second 10-day now, but we'll see. But Kai Bowman, you know, 7 turnovers. The worst part, though, is that he, you know, ended up turning his ankle late in the game.
Yeah.
And Steve Kerr, you know, said it's not a day-to-day thing. He's going to end up getting an MRI. I guess the good news is Steph is coming back, so, you know, it'll shore up some of their guard depth. But still, I like Kai, and, you know, he played a little more of his natural game tonight.
Besides I thought so, too.
Turnovers, which I like to see. You know, I've talked about it before. So for him to get hurt at this point, you know, just sucks.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it looked like Jordan Poole was almost lost, too. But he looked to hurt his ankle, ended up coming back in, checking in at the start of the fourth quarter. But, you know, he could – that ankle could swell up overnight, right? And then you're missing both of your point guards there. And we still don't have an exact return date for Steph, who will be reevaluated Friday, or will go through another scrimmage. We'll have a better idea Friday. I think his official evaluation maybe have pushed back to Saturday, but we'll see. The turnovers have been an issue for this team pretty much all season, and I think part of that was obviously not having Draymond Green in that second half to run. And Steve Kerr said as much. They needed him, and I think he was upset to see Draymond Green let his emotions get the best of him and leave in the second half, because, like you said, it was a 2-point game at halftime. They could have won that game, according to him. I don't think that they could have. I thought that the Lakers played them better, and it was sort of more of an anomaly that it was a 2-point game and not a bigger blowout at that point. But I think that the Lakers would have ended up pulling away either way. This kind of – to go back to the trend here – I'm watching this offense even with Draymond Green. And look, I know that they're going to get Steph Curry back, but I don't even know how much Steph's going to help, because what makes Steph so great is his ability to play off the ball and be as much of a threat off the ball as he is on the ball. And yeah, he could go out and do that thing that everybody hoped to see him do at the start of the season, you know, be the Warriors version of James Harden, high usage rate, pick and roll, let's go. But that's not his game. We saw that in the first 3.5 games of the season before he got hurt. It's just not the way he operates. And I'm watching this offense, and it's just sort of, they're doing the things that Steve Kerr wants them to do sometimes, where they're swinging the ball, they're driving, and they're kicking. But it's sort of these like kind of flaccid half drives and like little, you know, kicks and you're getting a lot of bad passes, you know, a lot of lazy passes, which has been sort of the Warriors' MO in the past. However, when you don't have Kevin Durant, Klay Thompson, Steph Curry out there, you can't really get away with that. And that seems to just be their offense. It's like, okay, it looks good. They're swinging the ball. They seem to know what they need to be doing, but they just lack so much actual athleticism and talent that it doesn't really help. They can't get all the way to the rim. They can't finish through traffic. They can't make tough shots. This team basically needs to be wide open every time to make a shot. And again, Steph Curry will help the offense, but he's not going to change the offense necessarily. He's not going to get this offense from out of the depths of the bottom of the league rankings.
Yeah. No, and I mean, all the other part is you swing it to an open Eric Paschal, who, you know, even if it's an open shot, he'll probably pump fake and then drive to the hoop.
Right.
Jordan Poole, oddly enough, he just sometimes his decision making with his shot just is weird. It's a young team, and they don't understand when to shoot, when to drive at times, and you kind of see why people within the NBA are, you know, why LeBron has wanted to play with veterans his entire career, or why coaches don't like young guys so much, because they have to learn the game still, the NBA game. And, you know, that pump fake and drive might have worked in college, but instead you've got, you know, JaVale McGee at the rim, who, you know, again, is not one of the best centers in the league either, but like that's what you have to deal with in the NBA, and they're still learning. And, you know, Steph, yeah, he'll definitely help, but he's not going to be the guy that all of a sudden, they're not going to have a top offense in the league these last 24, 25 games, however many he plays when he comes back. And you mentioned the Harden stuff, like the high usage. One, it's not really his game. Two, Steve Kerr's not going to let him do that. You know, we saw that at the beginning of the year. Steve Kerr was not having it. So we're going to see them run this offense because it's the best thing for the team for next season, that these young guys learn the offense and learn to play in it. But it's going to be some bad, ugly basketball like we've been seeing.
Let's run through the box score really quick. Eric Paschal, 23 points on 7 of 14 shooting, went 8 for 9 from the free throw line. Shot all but one of the Warriors' free throws tonight. Damian Lee had the other. He had 15 points, 5 for 15 shooting, 6 rebounds, 4 assists. Jordan Poole, 16 points and 8 assists. I thought he had a pretty good game when he wasn't in the locker room nursing that ankle. And then you mentioned Kai Bowman there. He finished with 11 points on 5 for 9 shooting, 3 rebounds, 2 assists, and like you mentioned, the 7 turnovers. We'll talk about some of these 10-day contract guys coming up next. So the Warriors relied on 2 10-day contract players pretty heavily tonight, considering that that Andrew Wiggins was a late crash. So what they do is they move Dragan Bender to center into that starting lineup, the starting center spot. They slide Marquese Chriss over to a forward spot. And Draymond Green, I guess, technically was playing small forward tonight when he wasn't ejected. But look,
to his rookie year.
Yeah, exactly. Instead of David Lee, it was Marquese Chriss. I think with the Lakers, you could sort of get away with it because they basically start 2 centers, the JaVale McGee and Anthony Davis. So it made it plausible. Now, if they weren't playing the Lakers, I doubt that they move Dragan Bender up. They probably just move Eric Paschal up, who still came off the bench, but still Bender on that 10-day contract, 4 points on 2 for 6 shooting, 0 of 4 from 3-point range, 4 rebounds, 1 assist, and 6 personal fouls. You mentioned earlier in the show here, his first stint, really, his first game, but it was really just his first stint, was encouraging. And ever since then, he's been basically bad. I think he's missed now 13 of his last 14 shots, if I have that right. It's now 3 of his last 16 shots, which either way, I could say numbers like that and you would understand. It still illustrates the point. He's not shooting well. And then the other guy was Michael Mulder, who was signed today, and they asked him to play 22 minutes, given how injured they are. He had 2 points on 1 for 6 shooting, 0 of 5 from 3-point range, did have 4 rebounds, no assists, no turnovers, which was a rarity on this roster tonight. But between Mulder and Bender, Charles, they went 0 for 9 from 3-point range on a night where they really needed some of these things to go in, on a night where they went 9 for 32 from beyond the arc overall. So Bender and Mulder, not the best performances from them if they're trying to convince the Warriors to sign them to a second 10-day contract.
No, definitely not. I am intrigued by Mulder. I keep wanting to call him either Michael Madsen or Mark Mulder. It's Michael Mulder, right?
I'm intrigued by him. Mulder.
He shot just under 40% from 3 in the G League, and, you know, just another guard. And one of the things that the Warriors have done this year when bringing in guys, either on 10 days or whether it's Damian Lee or Kai Bowman, who earlier in the year was knocking down threes above 40%, is they have tried to find guys that can shoot to come off the bench. Now, the success rate hasn't been awesome, you know, but it doesn't look like Bender is going to be sticking around. Zach Norvell, who they were able to keep in their system, he's down in Santa Cruz right now, just went 7 of 12 from 3 in their last game. I've talked about Norvell before. I like him a lot. Solid 3-point shooter. Another guy who's shooting right at 40% in the G League. I like that they're looking for guys that can shoot, that can come off the bench, because that's something they haven't had ever. Maybe Nick Young that one year.
Right.
You know, before that, it's Andre Iguodala and Leandro Barbosa and, you know, guys who are serviceable veterans, but none of them are knockdown three-point shooters. So I like that that's what they're looking for, even though it's been pretty hit or miss.
Yeah, it's clear that they are looking for that sort of player as well as the stretch five sort of player. I think if and when Dragon Bender doesn't make on that second 10-day or whatever, they might try to find another guy like that. But you mentioned what Mulder was doing in the G League there, and he was shooting 40% on 10 three-point attempts per game. I mean, that is literally, and I'm not exaggerating, embellishing, James Harden, Damian Lillard type of numbers on volume and efficiency. But it goes to show you, and look, I don't mean to completely poo-poo the guy after 22 minutes in his first NBA game, but it goes to show you how different the G League is versus the NBA. It's the same length from the three-point range, but you are just so much more open, and it is so much more less – it's so much less pressure. It's not as high stakes as it is in an NBA arena, and that definitely affects guys. And, yeah, maybe he can get used to it, but there's also a reason why this dude was shooting – 40% on 10 three-point attempts per game in 40 games in the G League, and he wasn't in the NBA when three-point shooting is the biggest premium in the league. To me, I was like, well, what else? He must be bad at literally everything else. Like, he might be right. He would have to be the worst defender in the league to be shooting at a Damian Lillard clip and not be in the NBA. So, look, again, don't mean to make too many judgments about the guy before he's really done anything, but even Dragan Bender was putting up Nikola Jokic-type numbers in the G League in Milwaukee. And he comes to the NBA and he looks completely outmatched. And so I think that, you know, you try to find guys in the G League who work. I understand what the Warriors are doing here with these 10-day contracts. This is the best use of those final two roster spots, but they're going to have to churn, I think, through a lot of these guys before they even find one who really fits. And really, when you think about it, it kind of makes these Kai Bowmans and Eric Paschals and these Marquese Chrises and these kinds of finds that they've had this year even more impressive, because it is so hard to find guys on the trash heap like that.
No question. One of the reasons why I still am intrigued by Mulder is because of that that large sample size. Like you said, you know, 10 shooting 40% on 10 threes a game, where Bender did put up good numbers, but, you know, I think he shot like 74 threes in his G League, you know, his time in the G League. So, at least with the larger sample size with Mulder, I do think there's a chance that he can at least knock down some open threes. But like you said, that, you know, shot window closes a lot quicker in the NBA than it does in the G League. And it also depends on his the opportunities that he'll get with this team. It'll be interesting to see when Steph does come back, whether it's Sunday or not, because the spacing will be a lot better. I mean, that's the other thing. Sometimes the spacing is just ridiculous. Sometimes it looks like they're starting basically three centers like they did tonight. So, you know, we'll see when Steph does come back, but, you know, I still am holding out hope for Mulder. And with those last two roster spots, I wouldn't be surprised if, maybe I'm just higher on Zach Norvell than most, but if he doesn't end up getting one of those roster spots by the end of the year, and then one of those non-guaranteed deals next year to give them some sort of flexibility, like they've done with Toscano Anderson and the other guys.
Right. No, they clearly like him, which is why they made the trade to acquire him and bring him into the system, like you mentioned. But Steph Curry could be on the way as soon as Sunday. Before then, the Warriors have a game Saturday in Phoenix, but help is on the way inevitably. Hopefully they can go ahead and get a win, because it feels like they really want one. They're saying it. Thank you for listening to Locked On Warriors, your daily podcast on all things Warriors. Please remember to subscribe on iTunes or follow us on Spotify. Thanks for listening.